Okay. We're waiting for the live stream. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I know you've got your masks on, but let's try that again. Good morning. That's great. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. Greetings from Milton Keynes. For those of you who don't know me, I've been here before, and I think I've even been on the video before, but my name is Andy Godfrey. And I work for two organizations. Now, you're going to see a video about one of them a little bit later on in the service. The other one organization that I work for is an organization called Outreach UK, which is a bit like the organization that Gordon Curley works for, only much better. Gordon works, of course, for counties, evangelistic work. Outreach UK, we have a number of evangelists right across the country. We have 70 evangelists at the moment working across the country. There are three of us who are full-time, and I have pastoral responsibility for the evangelists in the south of England and the east of England. So that's what I do. I spend my life in evangelism. I work for the Good News newspaper, which, as I say, you're going to see a video about, but I also work for Outreach UK. We've got these 70 evangelists working all over the country. And all through lockdown, all of those guys have been reporting that God has been at work, that God has been blessing their ministry, and there's been some wonderful opportunities for the gospel, for the message of Jesus to spread right across the country. People have been receiving literature during lockdown like never before, because I think that they've been bored. They want something to read. And so we've had an amazing time during lockdown in the area of evangelism, and maybe we'll say a little bit more about that later on, but it's great to be here. Now, when Gordon phoned me a few weeks ago, you know Gordon, you know, he's that funny bloke who supports that strange football team. I support a football team that play in red as well, and I keep telling him that Bristol City are much better than Man United, but he doesn't believe me. But I keep trying to persuade him. But when he phoned me a few weeks ago, he told me there'd be some children here this morning. I can see some children. Just stick your hands up. Give us a wave. Because I have got a prize up here, because sometimes I gather in church, you sometimes play a game. We're going to play a game a bit later on. No, Penny, you don't qualify for this. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe the children will share the prize with you. Let's hope so. Okay. And we're going to play a game a bit later on, and I've got a prize for you. So I hope that you'll be up for it. I hope you'll help me out. Please do, because I'm going to look a bit of an idiot up here on my own if you guys don't help me out. Okay. This morning, we've come together both in this building and to those at home, and greetings to those watching online, to do one thing above anything else, and that's praise the Lord. To meet with God, to worship him, to give him all the praise and honor and glory that's due his name, and to thank him for all the incredible things he's done for us. Most of all, to thank him for the Lord Jesus Christ and for our great salvation. So we're going to sing a song about how great God is. It's going to appear on the video, and it's a reminder to us that the whole of creation joins in with us when we praise God together, and that's an absolutely incredible thing. So everybody in heaven, everybody on earth, all of creation joining with us this morning in praising God for his love and his goodness and his greatness and for our salvation. The song is called All Creatures of Our God and King. It's going to appear on the video.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. to hush our latest breath. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou leadest home the child of God, and Christ our Lord the way hath trod. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, alleluia.
An incredible thing this morning that we gather here and you're there in your homes and all of creation is praising God. The hosts of heaven are praising God. We join with them, but all of creation as well. Scripture talks about the trees clapping their hands, praising God. The scripture talks about all of creation joining in. And we just are so grateful this morning. I hope you are, for being in the presence of God wherever you are and being able to meet with this incredible, awesome, wonderful God. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Just take a moment to reflect on what we've just heard in song. Take a moment, if you're in the building, to reflect where you are. You're in the house of God. Take a moment, if you're at home, to reflect on the fact that God is with you, that the church, in a sense, isn't the building, it's the people, and that the Holy Spirit of God is with us and in us all. Thank God this morning for the privilege of being able to worship Him. Just take a moment to thank Him and to praise Him in your own heart. Heavenly Father, the scripture talks about how good it is when the people of God come together to worship You. There is that verse that talks about how glad somebody was when somebody said to them, let's go up to the house of the Lord. And Lord, we're glad this morning, and whether we're in this building or whether we're watching at home, we are so glad, we are so grateful, we are so rejoicing, because we worship a great, almighty, powerful God who loves us. You know all about us. You know this, what we're like. You know our faults and our failings and the times we've let You down during this past week. You know our sin. And You love us. You know those things that we've tried to do for You in this past week. And when we've got it right, You know about that too. And we just praise You that You are such a loving, gracious God. And on this Father's Day, what a Father we have. What a Father who loves His children so much that He sent His only Son to die for them. Lord, we cannot begin to take in the enormity of the gospel, of its message, and of our salvation. We can't begin to grasp what it cost You, what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the glory of heaven in obedience to His Father's will, and come to earth and live among us and then die that death on that cross. We praise You the story didn't end there. We praise You this morning that Jesus is alive. And we come this morning to a living, risen Savior, and we worship You and we want to say thank You. And it may be that some of us have had a really good week and things have gone well and we're praising You and we're blessing You and we thank You for all Your goodness to us. But perhaps some of us have not had such a good week. Maybe there has been illness or there have been problems or there are financial difficulties. You know. We commit ourselves to You this morning and pray that as we go into this coming week, with all that it may hold that we don't know about but You do, we would just afresh put ourselves in Your hands. We'd just afresh give ourselves over to You. we would just afresh say, Lord, here I am. Take me and send me. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Duncan Road and for all that it stood for over the years. Thank you for those gathered here this morning in the building and at home. We pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you continue to bless the work and outreach of this church. We thank you for the leadership. We thank you for Gordon and Penny. We thank you for others who are involved in the leadership. Continue to lead and guide and bless them, we pray. Thank you for every member of this church. Thank you for every person gathered here this morning, for every child present. Lord Jesus, continue to use this place and this area as a shining light that will attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we gather on this day, as we gather on this Father's Day, we recognize that spiritually speaking, there are so many orphans in this world, thousands of them, thousands of people in our own country today who will give no thought to the Heavenly Father. They will be celebrating their own fathers, but they will give no thought to you. And so we pray, Lord, that today, whether it's through video or TV or radio or street outreach or distribution of literature, whatever it may be, we pray that today there will be those in our nation who will have cause to think about you, who will have cause to come back to you, who will have cause to turn to you and seek you. We thank you that the Bible reminds us that those who seek God find him. So we pray for our nation today. We pray for our Prime Minister, for the government. We pray for Christians in Parliament. Thank you for the knowledge that you have your people in the houses, even in the Houses of Parliament. There are Christians on both sides of the House. We pray that regardless of party politics, they might have the courage to stand up for you, for the truth of your word and for the morality of your word. We pray for the nation, Lord. We pray for our world. We thank you that today, right across the world, thousands of people will be singing your praises and worshipping you and sharing the good news of Jesus. We pray that around the world today, you would bless your word as it goes out. Many of us can name missionaries by name serving you overseas. For those we know by name, we pray. For the thousands that we don't know, we pray as well. We ask that today the kingdom of God would just grow and grow and grow. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that many people would come to know Jesus and that the day of your coming would be drawn nearer as a result. Lord, our world desperately needs you. For where there's trouble in the world, where there's conflict, where there's war, bring peace. We've been told in the Bible to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We do that this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, for, again, the gospel to be heard loud and clear right across this planet today. So we worship you and we thank you. And we thank you that as we come in our homes and as we gather in this building, as individuals, you know us and you know our needs. You know exactly where we're at this morning. Please, Heavenly Father, bless us, we pray. Be with us and may all of us have that overwhelming sense of the presence of God that will drive us out into this coming week all the more determined to live for Jesus, to share Jesus, and to show Jesus to the world, because we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our Bible reading now. I understand that you've been looking at the book of Acts. I was really thrilled about that because Acts is my favorite book in the Bible. Well, it's my second favorite. It's my favorite book of the New Testament. Am I allowed to have a favorite book? I think so. My favorite book actually is Ecclesiastes, but don't tell anybody. So we're going to dive into the book of Acts this morning, and we're in chapter 3. And the reading's going to come up on the screen, and I'm going to read it from the screen just in case my version is ever so slightly different from yours. So Acts chapter 3, and we're starting at verse 1. Familiar story. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Sorry, were you going to control it? Yes, sorry. That's me being slow. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. But what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him praising God They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago for his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be cut off completely from their people.' Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offering, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." And that is the reading for this morning. We pray God will bless it to us. So we've got a story. We've got a story of a lame man who is begging. He can't walk, he's begging. And Peter comes along, and in the name of Jesus, he heals him. Okay, so I was thinking about this story this morning. You've got this guy, Peter. Peter had another name as well. He was something, something. He was something Peter. Does anybody know what that other name he had was? Yes. Simon, thank you so much. I was thinking about this morning. We could say that it wasn't Peter who said to the lame man, "Get up and walk." It was Simon Peter, right? Who said to the lame man, "Get up and walk." And that reminded me of a game that I used to play when I was a kid. This really dates me. How many of you, and I'm looking particularly at the children, but how many of you have ever played Simon Says? Yes, okay, I thought we'd have a game of Simon Says this morning because Simon Peter said to the lame man, "Get up and walk." So, for those of you who are a little bit unsure, and there is a prize, okay? Now, if you're under 12, let's say you can take part in this, okay? So, like, all the under 12s to stand up. All the under 12s going to stand up. I'm going to come down here. I'll keep my social distance. Don't worry. All the under 12s can stand up. That's great. We're going to play a game as Simon Says, and we're going to see who can win. Very simple. I'm going to give you some instructions. And if I say Simon Says, you've got to do it. But if I don't say Simon Says, you don't do it. Okay? So, you ready? Get it? Okay, so Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, stand up. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, stand up. Sit down. Oh, very close, very close. We might have to end up sharing this prize. I don't know. They told me the kids in Southampton were intelligent and clever and smart. Right, here we go again. Okay, so let's try it one more time. Simon says, put your left hand on your head. Oh, which is my left hand? Oh, well done, well done. Simon says, put your other hand on your head. Simon says, jump up and down. Yeah, good, good. No, you see, stop jumping up and down now. I haven't told you to stop. Keep going. Go on, I'll give you another chance. Keep going. Hey! Simon says stop. Simon says jump up and down. Stop. Oh, they're too good. They are just too good. Whoever told me kids in Southampton was smart was absolutely right. Stop. Ah, he's still going. Brilliant. Simon says stop. Simon says, take a deep breath. Simon says, relax. Simon says, stand up. Yes, we... You stood up, well done, because I said Simon says. Simon says, sit down. Okay. Do you reckon they should share the prize? I reckon they should. Now, I have kept this sort of clean or whatever you like. So there's a box of Maltesers. Okay, so come and get that afterwards, all right? And you can share it among you. Give yourselves a round of applause, because I think that was brilliant. Well done. Simon says, stand up. See, some of you are still paying attention. Should we try it with the adults later to see if they're paying attention during the sermon, not falling asleep? Yeah. Simon says, sit down. Okay, so you can share the prize. So Simon says it's a great game. It's a good, fun game. But in this story, Simon Peter said to the man, get up. This man hadn't walked in years. He needed a stick to walk. He needed friends to help him get around. He hadn't walked in years. And suddenly he was able to walk. But do you know what, guys? It wasn't because Simon said. It wasn't because Simon said. It was because of what Simon said. Simon said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And I want you to remember this morning that there's power. Jesus' name is powerful. So when you feel a little bit weak and a little bit tired and things are hard and you're having a tough day, mum and dad are shouting at you and you know you haven't done anything wrong and everything's going crazy, when you have a bad day, just remember this. Jesus is a friend who's with us always, and in his name there's power. The Lord Jesus can take care of us and look after us and help us every day of our lives. That's why when we pray, we often say, in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus because there's power in Jesus' name. Jesus can help us every single day of our lives. We've just got to trust him and make him our friend. I became a friend of Jesus when I was 7 years old. That's a very, 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 you don't want to know how long ago that is, okay? That's an awful, I'm a lot older than I look, okay? That's a very long time ago. But every day Jesus has been with me and there's power in Jesus' name. Jesus is powerful enough to help us cope with every situation we may ever face. Now, we're going to sing a song. I think we've got the song lined up. Is that right? Now, I haven't sung this in years, okay? But we used to sing this song when I was your age, and I think the words are going to come up on the screen. Everybody stand up if you want to, children particularly. And it kind of is a song about the story that we've been reading this morning, okay? So, here we go. I imagine we're going to play this through twice. I can't remember the action.
He asked them for cash, thinking they had a stash. And this is what Peter did say.
Okay.
Silver and gold I have none.
But they had power through God's Son.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
And he went walking and living and praising God.
Now, that bit's easy, the action.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Do you think you can do the walking and leaping and praising God?
People thought,
how can this be? Again?
But Peter said,
don't look at me. Jesus the King is the one who's healed him completely, as you can all see. Stop! All this talk of Jesus is rot!
But Peter said to them,
well, there's no other name by which all people are saved.
And they went walking and living and praising God. Walking and living and praising God. For there's no other name by which all people are saved.
I didn't see much walking. I saw a bit leaping. So a little bit of praising God.
And it is still
so when it comes round again, get ready for it, okay?
That Jesus is the only way to be friends with God and never to stop, no matter what people might say. And even better than that, Jesus said,
I will be back. I'll fix everything and get rid of all sin.
And we're looking forward to that. Cause we'll be walking and living. And praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. He'll fix everything and get rid of all sin, and we're looking forward to
Come on! Give yourselves a round of applause. That's fantastic. It's a lot longer than it used to be, that chorus. Well done, thank you. So don't forget to claim your prize afterwards. That's absolutely brilliant. And I hope you enjoyed that. That's really good. That'll help you to remember the story. Power in the name of Jesus. We're going to see another video now, and I want you to watch this really carefully. Now, I'm on it, okay? But don't watch it because of that, okay? I want you to watch it because at one point I expect a great big cheer from Duncan Road Church. Okay, and you can cheer at home as well. Okay, so at one point, and there'll be somebody that you'll recognize on this video. I'm sorry about that. Okay, you just can't avoid him, you can't get away from him, but he's going to be on this video, right? This is brand new. Now, this is the world premiere of this video. You are very, very privileged this morning, okay? Because no other church has ever seen this video. We only finished it last week, and I thought, wow, what an appropriate place to show it on a big screen for the very first time at Duncan Road, because, well, you'll see, okay? You'll see, and I want a big cheer. It might be very quick, but see, okay? So this is my other work. I mentioned that I work for an organization called Outreach UK, and we have about 70 evangelists across the country, and I'm pastorally responsible for some of those evangelists, so I get to visit them and spend time with them and pray with them. But the other thing I do, and there's some copies on the back, is I work for the Good News newspaper. Anybody ever seen a copy of the Good News newspaper? Okay, this is our brand new video, all about the paper. Keep your eyes peeled, and I'm listening out for the chair. Ladies and gentlemen, the world premiere. I'm so excited about this because I've been living with this for months, honestly. It's taken months and months. The world premiere of our brand new video. Just sit back and enjoy. Hi, my name's Andy Godfrey, and I'm the UK representative for the Good News newspaper. What is the Good News newspaper? Well, it's just that. An attractive monthly newspaper that is full of nothing but good news. When was the last time you picked up a newspaper that had nothing but good news in it? I suspect the answer to that question is never. The good news that we report on is the greatest news of all, that Jesus Christ is alive today and still changing lives. Each month we print powerful testimonies of people who are being transformed by an encounter with Jesus. The stories range from news about celebrities who found God or say something good about faith, to sportsmen and women who've met the Lord Jesus, and accounts of how local churches and Christians are making a difference in their communities. We also have film reviews and articles on science and the Bible. A crossword puzzle, Sudoku, and recipe are included, and these can be used to introduce your friends to the paper. In fact, to answer some of the clues in the crossword, you have to open a Bible. What a great way to start a conversation about the Lord. On the back of the paper, there is a space for you to put details of your own local church. And inside is a form which people can send to us if they want to know more about becoming a Christian. When we get these forms, we reply with a free booklet or video on how to become a follower of Jesus, and we offer counselling. The 8 pages are jammed packed with good news stories, and at only 15 pence an issue, plus postage and packing. It's great value. How is the paper being used? Many churches and evangelists are distributing it door to door in their neighbourhoods. Being a monthly publication, this creates great opportunities to revisit homes on a regular basis. Lots of churches are using it at their mums and tots groups, messy church or cafes, or they're giving it away through their local food banks. Many individual Christians buy copies to leave in places like a doctor's waiting room or dentist waiting room, cafes or hairdressers. At Christmas and Easter, we produce special editions, which are great for inviting people to church events. The paper is also being given free of charge to prison chaplains, and over 70 are regularly taking the paper into their prisons. To find out more, to help support our ministry, and to order copies, please visit our website, www.goodnews-paper.org.uk. That's www.goodnews-paper.org.uk. Here, you can also read the current issue to see what's included. We live in a world full of bad news. As Christians, we have the greatest news the world has ever heard. The Good News newspaper is a fantastic way to share that news with your friends, your family, your colleagues, your neighbours, and in your communities. In a world full of bad news, isn't it time they had the good news? Is it okay?
Yeah.
As you can see, or you may know if you read the Good News newspaper, I get to write the film reviews for the paper. That's a really hard job. It means somebody has to go to the cinema and watch a film and then write about it. I find it really tough, but, you know, I cope. And I've been dreading the reviews of this video. So thank you for that. I'm sure you recognised your church up there, and thank you for your support for Good News. Our only aim is to get the good news of Jesus out there. That's all we want to do. And we just want to do it in a way that's accessible to people, and a way that format that hopefully non-Christians, people who don't come to church, will pick up and read. Last week I was out doing some door-to-door work in Milton Keynes. There was a chap in his drive, and I've been putting the Good News newspaper for his door for a couple of months. And he was in his drive, and as I walked up the drive, he said, "Oh, are you the guy who's been pushing this paper through my door?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, keep it coming. We love reading it." Now, not a Christian, doesn't go to church, but keep it coming, reading about the Lord Jesus. So thank you for your support for Good News. We've been hit a little bit, as every other organisation has, of course, during the pandemic, but we're so grateful to God. And phew, let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every opportunity that you give us to tell others about Jesus. We thank you, Father, for each and every organization that exists, be it Counties or Outreach UK or Good News or whatever it is, to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have such a great message to share. And we pray that each and every day we may look for those opportunities, we may look for those chances to share Jesus with others and with those who need him. Father God, we pray today for every place where the gospel is going to be preached. It might be on television, might be on Zoom, it might be in hospital, it might be on radio or street corners or in churches or chapels or even in cathedrals. Father God, we just pray that the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and still changing lives today, will be heard. So we praise you and we bless you, we worship you, and we pray that now as we spend a few moments thinking about this story, which we've already talked about with the children, and how there is power in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would bless it to us in his name. Amen. Amen. I hope that my PowerPoint's going to come up on the screen. Thank you. The children are going to go upstairs now. Sorry, that's my bad. I hadn't made a note. Thank you so much. Have fun, kids. Thank you for joining in. Don't forget to claim your prize afterwards. It's at the front of the church waiting for you. That's great. We'll be praying for you. So hopefully, as I say, my PowerPoint's going to come up on this screen, and we'll be sharing with the praying for the children. In fact, let's just do that. Let's just pray for the children, and let's also pray for Gordon, who's out preaching elsewhere. I've had a bit of fun at his expense this morning. Maybe I should pray for him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just pray for the children as they go upstairs. We pray they'll have a great time. We pray that they might learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and in learning more about him, put their faith and trust wholly in him. We pray for Gordon this morning as he's preaching elsewhere. We ask your blessing upon him. And again, we pray for every place where the gospel is preached this morning, that you would be honored and glorified. In your name, Amen. When Gordon phoned me a few weeks ago and told me what the theme was for this morning, he said, "Andy, we want you to preach on the healing of the layman at Gate Beautiful." Well, I have a confession to make, because my immediate reaction to Gordon, and we were on a video call, was simply this: hallelujah, that will give me a chance to show off. And what I meant by that was, and I know that some of you will have been as well, back in 2019, I had the opportunity to fulfill a lifetime's ambition. I had been waiting for over 50 years to go to Israel, and I finally made it. And it was a great thrill to spend some time in the summer of 2019 in the Holy Land, exploring all the places associated with Jesus. It was a dream come true. For those of you who don't know, that iconic picture of Jerusalem, that iconic view of Jerusalem with the Golden Dome mosque sitting in the place where the temple once stood, is taken from the top of the Mount of Olives. And I was so thrilled as we stood on the top of the Mount of Olives to look down over Jerusalem, and we made our way down the Mount of Olives and we stopped at the Garden of Gethsemane, and then we made our way across the Kidron Valley, which is mentioned in the Bible, to have a look round the ancient walls of the city. There's one thing that stands out particularly in the walls of Jerusalem, and it's this: it's the Golden Gate. You can see that it overlooks the Mount of Olives. In fact, if you stand in front of the Golden Gate and look outwards, you'll see the Garden of Gethsemane, which is an incredibly moving place to visit. But that gate has been sealed up since 1541, when it was sealed up by a Muslim emperor. And yet, the Jewish people believe that when the Messiah comes again, that gate will open. And he will ride through into Jerusalem in victory. In fact, it's one reason why the Mount of Olives is just one big cemetery today. Because so many devout Jewish people want to be buried as close to that gate as possible, so that they will be as close to the Messiah as possible when he comes again. It's a remarkable place to go and visit. And then we made our way down the wall and we came to this. And this is where we are at in Scripture this morning. Because this is the Gate Beautiful itself. It was one of the entrances into the temple, and it has been bricked up. It was bricked up at exactly the same time as the Beautiful Gate was in 1541. But here it is. This is the exact spot where the story that we are looking at this morning took place. And as we stood there, and as I waited for some people to clear so I could take a photograph of the Gate Beautiful, our group leader made us sing a song. And it wasn't one of the great hymns, and it wasn't one of the great worship songs. He made us sing that song that we've already sung this morning. So that song, "Peter and John Went to Pray," I can say I've sung it, stood on the spot where it actually happened. What an amazing place to be. And what an amazing story. It's quite remarkable. Not just because of the healing itself, but because of what preceded it and because of what follows it. And as you go through the book of Acts here at Duncan Road, you will begin to realize that this moment, this very moment of a lame man being healed, has unbelievable consequences that go on right through the rest of the book of Acts. In a sense, an awful lot of what happens starts here. But as I read this story again, and I've read it through so many times in the last couple of weeks, something else struck me. And what really hit me, what I want to really share with you this morning, is this. This is the second major incident in the life of Peter in the book of Acts. So you go back a chapter. Now remember that Acts was never divided up into chapters originally, but it has been for us. So go back to Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, we have Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching to a massive crowd of people. Preacher's dream come true. He's got a congregation of over 3,000 people, and they're being held captive because all of the disciples are preaching to them in their own language, and he's able to preach to them, and people get converted by the thousands. What a remarkable day in the life of Peter. The day of Pentecost must have been a day that lived with Peter for the rest of his life. I got to preach to 3,000 people, and 3,000 people were converted. Fantastic. And then we have the story in Acts chapter 3 of the healing of a lame man. And it's fascinating to compare the two. In Acts 2, Peter is preaching to a very large crowd of people. 3,000 people get converted, the church gets a kickstart, and it's absolutely incredible. Peter's at the height of his fame, it's a preacher's dream come true, everybody's talking about him, absolutely brilliant. But notice this, he goes from a crowd to an individual. In Acts 2, he speaks to over 3,000 people, in Acts 3, he speaks to one person. In Acts 2, 3,000 people get saved, in Acts chapter 3, one person gets saved. In Acts 2, the consequences of Peter's preaching are miraculous. In Acts 3, the consequences of Peter's preaching are the beginning of the persecution of the apostles. He goes from preaching to a crowd to an individual. It's not the only example that you find in the book of Acts of this sort of thing. Go, for example, to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is having a fantastic time in Samaria. Gordon and I would have loved this. He's preaching to great crowds of people. Miracles are happening. People are getting converted and baptisms are taking place by the score. Philip is having an absolutely wonderful evangelistic mission in Samaria. And look what God does a few verses later. He pulls him out of that situation and plonks him in the middle of the desert to speak to one man. Like Peter, he goes from addressing a crowd to addressing an individual. He goes from mass evangelism to one-to-one evangelism. And we believe that the consequences in Acts 8 were that the individual Philip spoke to, he was an Ethiopian, and he was the one who took the gospel to Africa originally. But just notice the contrast. Now, there are other examples of this in Scripture as well, where people go from large crowds to dealing with individuals, most notably, of course, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many examples in the Gospels of Jesus doing this. He feeds 4,000 men plus women and children with a little bit of food. He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children with a little bit of food. He preaches to large crowds. The crowds follow him everywhere. After his resurrection, Jesus appears to more than 500 people at once. Fantastic, mass evangelism on an amazing scale. But look, just go for the Gospels and notice how many times Jesus pulls away from the crowds, from the masses, to deal with an individual. Think about Zacchaeus. He's got Zacchaeus up a tree. Oh man, I'd love that. I would have loved that. What an opportunity to preach. What an opportunity to draw a great big crowd. This is fantastic. No. Zacchaeus, come down. Let's go to your home. Another children's chorus. We'll have a cup of tea and talk about this. So many examples in the life of Jesus. When he goes from the crowd to dealing with the individual, think most of all about the woman at the well. Jesus does not go into the town where the woman at the well lives in Samaria to preach the gospel. He talks to her as an individual, then she goes back into the town and everybody becomes a believer because of her testimony, not because of Jesus preaching to them. Consequences of people dealing with individuals. The woman in the crowd with the issue of blood. She had been bleeding for 15 years. No doctor had been able to help her. There's this huge crowd of people bustling around Jesus. He's the center of attention. Everybody's trying to get a selfie with Jesus. And in the middle of all that hustle and bustle and pushing and shoving, read the story, Jesus stops. And he says, "Who touched me?" And I can imagine the disciples scratching their heads and looking at each other thinking, "Hang on a minute, here we go again. What do you mean who touched you?" He said, "Somebody touched me." And even though he's on his way to heal a dying boy, Jesus stops. And he deals with that woman as an individual. So many examples. Why? Because individuals matter. Now, I had a conversation with one of our evangelists in Outreach UK last week, and he had said that somebody in a church had said to him that evangelism is all about getting people into church and bums on seats. Excuse the expression. Evangelism is all about getting people into our churches. No, it isn't. Evangelism has never been about numbers. Evangelism has always been about reaching the individual. Evangelism has always been about one-to-one witnessing. Now, we so often quote that verse, that the angels rejoice over one sinner saved. That verse comes in Luke 15. And in Luke 15, he gathers together, the author, three parables about three lost things: the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And each of those three things has an intrinsic value: the coin, the sheep, the son. Each of those things is important. Each of those things matter. And Jesus tells these stories to illustrate the point he wants to make, that the angels rejoice over one sinner saved. Individuals matter. And sometimes I think about the fact that Dr. Billy Graham and some other great evangelists have gone home. Yes, we still have big events. Let's have the big events. But you know, the key to winning this country for Jesus, the key to winning Milton Keynes, where I live, for Jesus, and the key to winning Southampton for Jesus, is that every single Christian recognize that they have to share Jesus with the people they come in contact with. Because not many of them are going to come and hear Gordon preach in Southampton, and none of them are ever going to come to hear me preach in Southampton. The key to winning this nation for Jesus Christ is for you and I as individuals to be reaching out to the individuals around us, because they matter. Isn't this one lesson we've learned from lockdown? If lockdown has taught us anything, hasn't it taught us about the importance of the individual? Remember when we were out clapping for carers? We did that in my street. I, to my shame, had never met some of my neighbours before. Didn't know them. They didn't know me. I felt ashamed. But there we were out clapping and chatting, and one night we all had a drink together, standing in the street, socially distanced. And I got to know my neighbours for the first time. I've been living there 15 years. I felt so ashamed. Because these are the people on my doorstep that I should be reaching for Jesus, and I'm an evangelist. I felt really bad. And God challenged me. If we've learned anything from lockdown, it's about the importance of family. How many families are getting together for the first time today on Father's Day? We've learned about the importance of family. We've been reminded about the importance of the elderly. We've been reminded about the significance of the young. We've been reminded about the importance of the individual. These are lessons lockdown have taught us, and society in general has acknowledged that. How much more the church? How much more we as Christians? Witnessing to our friends, our neighbors, our families, individuals around us who are never going to hear Jesus about Jesus any other way than unless you tell them and unless I tell them. You matter. Now, you matter. You're important because God made you just the way you are. You matter because Jesus died for you. You know this. You matter because God has invested in you time and talents and gifts as an individual. And I don't mind how old you are or how young you are this morning, you matter. You are important to God. Isn't that great? You're significant to God. God loves you. If you were the only sinner who'd ever lived, Jesus would have still have died for you. If you were the only person who ever lived, God would love you. You matter. But if you're a Christian here this morning, there's another reason why you matter. And that's because whether you're at school or at university or at home or at work, you are surrounded by a network of individuals who need Jesus. Individuals who, as I've said, are never going to come to your church, who are never going to hear Gordon preach, and who are certainly never going to hear me preach. Your friends, your neighbours, your colleagues, the people next door, the postman, the delivery man, the woman at the school gate, the lady in the cafe, the guy in the local shop, all need Jesus. And you might be the only Christian they ever meet. You are surrounded by a whole network of people. And it is up to us as individuals to share with individuals the good news of Jesus. One of the things that we do in Outreach UK, and I know counties have something similar, is we run evangelism training. And we stress the importance of the fact that gospel opportunities come our way every day. Every day. But sometimes we just don't realize them. Carry a copy of the Good News newspaper with you. Carry some evangelistic literature with you. I have a friend and mentor and colleague up in Suffolk. His name is Victor Jack. Some of you will know that name. Victor, during the first lockdown, decided that he would go prayer walking every day. So he got a big bag and he strung it over his shoulder, and in that bag he put copies of the Good News newspaper and other gospel literature. And as he's out walking, if an individual came to him, he would stop them and say, "Hi, how are you coping with lockdown?" And they would pass a comment. And then Victor would say, "What are you reading during lockdown?" And they might say, "Lord of the Rings" or "Harry Potter" or whatever it happened to be. And Victor would say, "I'm reading the world's bestseller." "Oh, what's that?" "It's the Bible. Would you like a part of it?" You and I are surrounded by people. You know, it has been said, and I heard an American pastor say this, that if one person in the street is a Christian, it should be good news for the whole street. That's why I was ashamed during Clapping for Carers. If one person in the street is a Christian, it should be good news for the whole street. Because everybody in that street knows which door they can knock on to find love and acceptance and a welcome. One person in the street is a Christian should be good news for the whole street. And this is why I think in Scripture so very often we see people like Peter and James and Philip and others dealing with individuals, going away from the crowds, dealing with people one-to-one, sharing their faith in Jesus, sharing Jesus with them, because it's the only way to win people for Christ. And the only way Southampton's going to be won for Jesus or Milton Keynes is if I share Jesus with people. Now, there are consequences. I had a conversation with a lady in my church home group last week who was bemoaning the fact that she'd been witnessing to several people for a very long time and they hadn't got converted. Well, we can't convert anybody, but we can tell people they need to be converted. And we can leave the consequences of that up to them and between them and God. But our job is to tell people, and we have to tell people. And we have to tell people increasingly, and the need is urgent to tell people. And Jesus is on his way back, and we've got to be telling people. Consequences in Acts 4 are really interesting. You know, no doubt you'll see them next week as you read through. The apostles begin to be persecuted. They're arrested. They're put in prison. They get an opportunity to speak to the Jewish ruling council. There are consequences. But sometimes the consequences are fantastic because maybe, just maybe, that person you witness to, that person you share with, that person you tell about Jesus will come to faith in Christ. You know, God can do above and beyond what we can imagine. Your neighbor can be converted as a result of you sharing Jesus with him. So let me ask you the question that's on the screen. What is your biggest concern when it comes to outreach and evangelism? Is it just to see this building full of people? That's a good ambition, I guess. But it's not what evangelism is all about. Evangelism is about the individual. Do we really care for the lonely, the crippled, the unemployed, the down and out, the underdog, the lame, the big issue seller on the street, the noisy neighbor? Do we really care? Do we really love? Are we really going out of our way to share Jesus with them? One of my favorite stories connected with the Good News newspaper, the story we got of a guy in Crewe. He was on the street, he was a beggar, and one night he was rummaging through a skip looking for paper to stuff his sleeping bag with. He found a copy of the Good News newspaper. The name and address of the church that had been giving out those papers was on the back of the paper. Sunday morning, he walked into the church, in the words of the pastor, stinking to high heaven. They welcomed him. They embraced him. Today, that man is a pillar of that church. He's loving the Lord Jesus, and he's living with a family from that church who are helping him to sort his life out. We have to ask ourselves the question sometimes. Do we really care for our neighbor? Do we weep over our neighbor, our family member, our friend, our colleague who doesn't know Jesus? We, as I've said, recommend giving out Good News newspapers. We recommend giving out Gospels. Pocket Testament League, we partner with Good News, who are giving out good news of John's Gospels. Why should we care so much? Well, we all know the answer to that. Because God cared for you, because Jesus died for you, and because Jesus rose again from the dead. So, That day in Jerusalem was a remarkable day. We started on the Mount of Olives. We walked down following the route Jesus would have followed on Palm Sunday on the donkey. We got to the Garden of Gethsemane. We crossed the Kidron Valley and we went up to the Gate Beautiful. And then we went to the Golden Gate. And then we made our way round to the Gate Beautiful. And it was amazing to be stood on the exact spot where the story that we're reading about happened. But it's a reminder to us that Jesus said, I am the door, I am the gate, and all who come in through me find life. And as we introduce others to Jesus, so we can pray that they will find life. I want to share with you one last thought. In Matthew chapter, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells some stories. But he talks about all sorts of different groups of people. He talks about hungry people and poor people and prisoners. And he uses this expression. He says, if you give them a cup of cold water in my name, you will be blessed. And we tend to dismiss that. We tend to think, oh, a cup of cold water, no problem at all. That's easy. That's the least we can do. But you know, that isn't what Jesus was saying. When we were in Israel, it was 40 degrees in the shade. And in Jesus' day, they didn't have fridges. In Jesus' day, they didn't have cold water, genuinely cold water readily available. In Jesus' day, they didn't have freezers. So a cup of cold water, genuinely cold water in Jesus' day, was actually something that was highly prized. It wasn't the least you could give somebody. It was the best you could give somebody. It was the best you could give somebody, the cup of cold water. And it was the most fantastic thing you could give somebody. Jesus isn't saying give the least you can give. Jesus is saying give the best you can give. Here's my question. And I've already told you that I was shamed last year. Are we and I giving our best to those who need it? And what's the best thing we can give them? In the words of Peter, or to paraphrase the words of Peter, not silver and gold, but Jesus. But Jesus. Many years ago, when I was working as an evangelist in Chichester, it was 10:30 on a Saturday night. It was November. It was dark, it was raining, it was cold. And I was just sitting down, as you do on a November Saturday night, to watch Match of the Day. And there was a knock at the door. And I very gingerly opened the door, and a lady stood there. And this lady, if I tell you that she kept a red light on in her kitchen window, you will understand what her profession was. She had 6 children by 6 different men. She was pregnant again. And I gingerly opened the door and I saw this lady standing there dripping wet, soaking, freezing cold. And she said, and I quote, do Christians live here? And I tell you this story not for my credit but for the Lord's glory. She said, do Christians live here? I said, yes. And she went, and I'm not exaggerating, she stood there and she went, help, help. Do Christians live here? Help. She came in, she gave her heart to the Lord around about 2 o'clock in the morning. She went on to become a pillar of the church, and I was with her a few days later when she took the red bulb out of her kitchen window and smashed it on the ground. What a moment that was. Do Christians live here? Help. Do my friends, my colleagues, my neighbors know that a Christian lives here? That Jesus lives here? Because I bet if they did, more of them would come and say, help. And then it's up to me to give them not silver and gold, but to give them the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the best I can give. Let's pray together. I want you to take a moment to think about your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your family members who don't know Jesus. Sometimes we don't have to go to Broad to be a missionary. We just have to go next door. How are you going to share Jesus with them? Do they know that a Christian lives here? Do they know that Jesus lives here? And when, like the lame man in our story, they reach out for help, are we offering them Jesus? Are we giving the best that we can give? May the Lord help us to recognize that every day opportunities come our way to share Jesus. Let's do it. Let's just do it. And let's win this town street by street, house by house, door by door for Jesus. Father God, thank you that we see in Scripture examples of where your people were preaching to large crowds of people. And that's great. And we long to preach to the masses. But at the same time, those same people were taken out of those situations to talk to an individual, to share Jesus with just one person. We pray that all of us this morning may look for those opportunities this week. It may be giving a cup of cold water or a bag of sugar. It may be talking about Jesus. It may be offering a piece of literature to somebody. May we see that opportunities come our way every day to do something for you, to do something good for you, to do something for the kingdom, for the gospel. Help us to take those opportunities, we pray. And may you be glorified, and may people come to know you as a result, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our closing song that's going to come up on the video. Thank you.
Shelter, tower of refuge and strength.
pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that nothing in all creation compares to the promise we have in Jesus. Give us that deep longing and that burning desire. Give us that overriding passion that others should partake in those promises as well. And as we see our neighbours, our friends, our colleagues, our family, may we recognise opportunities that you give us just to say a word for Jesus, to point them in his direction, and that if they are screaming out help, that we might point them to the only one who can help them. Father, thank you that silver or gold we maybe don't have in abundance, but what we have we can give, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you. Give you his peace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning. God bless you. We're praying for you.